So I have an announcement to make. Joel and Teresa came up with a great idea that we should all have lunch together next Sunday right after church at Francisca's Restaurant, so you're all invited to come. Of course, it's Dutch treat. We'll all pay for our own, but we'll have a good time of fellowship and be delighted to be together. So that's next Sunday the 24th, right after church. We'll go down and meet down there and have a great time together. So Titus was Paul's troubleshooter. In his life, Paul had a lot of troublemakers, so he needed a troubleshooter. When the situation was dire, he sent Titus. What's interesting, though, even though an entire book has been written to him, we learn very little about him from Scripture. The pastoral epistles, which are 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, are unique from his other writings in that they're much more highly personal, practical, and unsystematic. The other writings that he did, and you go into, normally there's a doctrinal section and there's a practical section. This is what you know, and because of what you know, then this is what you do. And 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, they just kind of skip around, and there's not that part. And they're written, the others are all written to a church. And this one, these two, three books are written to two different individuals, so they have that personal touch to them. Last week we talked about the life of Paul, and we went through the book of Acts and his first missionary journey, second missionary journey, third missionary journey, his imprisonment, and then the book of Acts ends. And then at that point, we don't know anymore, so we're kind of surmising from other writings and that type of thing. And it seems to be in that period that 1 Timothy and Titus were written. Then there's a second imprisonment, and that's when 2 Timothy was written. That's his last book. He sent these two young church leaders. He considered them both his spiritual sons, and he sent them out to lead churches. Now, there's a mystery in the book of Acts, and that is the book of Acts never mentions Titus. It mentions a lot of the other church leaders. They did this and he went there, but Titus seems to be a part of his entourage for Paul as it goes around. And so, because Haig is speaking on Luke next week, he's going to come with the reason why Luke never mentions Titus in the book. So that's his assignment for the week. I didn't see anything in any of the commentaries except for one person has a theory that is totally unsubstantiated. He thinks that Luke and Titus were brothers. And having four brothers, I can understand how sibling rivalries could come into why you wouldn't write about him in the book, either because he is so good, you didn't want to build him up because he's your brother, or there's so much negative stuff there that you're not going to put them in print. I don't know, but that's one of the theories that's out there, but there's no substantiation of that. It looks to be that Titus came to know Christ under Paul's ministry in his first missionary journey. And the reason for that is in Galatians chapter 2, turn with me to Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 says, then after an interval of 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus also. It was because of a revelation that I went up, and I submitted to them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. And I did so in private to those who were of reputation for fear that I might be running or had run in vain. But not even Titus, who was with me, though he was a Greek, that's important, he's a Greek, he was not compelled to be circumcised. So if you look through this, the history of Paul that we just went through last week. So we have his conversion and his time away. And then we have the first missionary journey. And after that first missionary journey, when he and Barnabas came back to Jerusalem, back when they came back to Antioch, they start talking about people would come to know Christ. And the discussion that was going on in Antioch and back in Jerusalem was, these people are coming to know Christ, but they're not following Judaism. They're not following the law. The guys aren't being circumcised. There's this disconnect with, in order to be a Christian, you have to be a Jew as well. You have to be a convert into Judaism for those who are Gentile. And that's what the Jerusalem Council is all about. And so it says here, and that's what he's referring to. Here's chapter 2. He's talking about Jerusalem Council. Now, if you turn to Acts chapter 15, Acts chapter 15, which is Luke telling about the Jerusalem Council. Some men came from Judea and began teaching the brethren, unless you have circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. That was a major issue for the Jerusalem Council. And when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, the brethren determined Paul and Barnabas and some others of them should go up to Jerusalem. One of those is Titus. But he doesn't mention him by name. Some others of them should go to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this issue. So they go up and they become a part of this discussion about what is required of a Christian. Do you have to be a convert into Judaism, or can you go straight from being a pagan, if you want to use that word, to being a Christian, or do you have to become a Jew first and then a Christian? And the Jerusalem Council decided among them as they talked that there's not a reason to be a convert into Judaism, that the gospel applies to the Greek and to the Jew in the same way, and there's not a need to be converted into Judaism. What is interesting in that discussion, Titus would be exhibit A for part of that discussion. Because Titus was right there, as far as we know, he'd become a Christian, and he was seen as a Christian, but he had not converted into Judaism, so they may have been talking about, you know, you have a discussion, talk about, you know, we need to do this, and then need. For example, does Titus need to convert to Judaism? Does he need to be circumcised? Does he need to obey the law in order to be a Christian? So he'd be exhibit A, logically, and they're talking about, their discussion about how does this live out and how it works. So again, I'm surprised that Titus isn't mentioned, but that's okay. Luke or Hi, go figure that out for us next week. What a tall order. By the way, Hi, I will be here next week. Okay, so just so you know. And the issue was in Galatians chapter 2, he says, but not even Titus, who was with me, though he was a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. So the decision that was made out of Jerusalem Council was that there was not a need for a person to convert to Judaism and for men to be circumcised as a part of this whole process. That was the result of that. It appears from reading between the lines that Titus accompanied Paul regularly. On his third missionary journey, Paul arrived in Troas, and he expected to find Titus there, so he says, there is no rest in my spirit because of that. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll see that passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse 13. Now when I came to Troas, and this is the third missionary journey, I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when the door was opened to me, for I had no rest in my spirit, not finding Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, they went on to Macedonia. So he's expecting, so Titus seems to be a part of his journeys and of his leaving him different people places. We remember he left Timothy some places, Titus other places, and some others at different places to carry on the work there as he moved on. Titus is mentioned 9 times in 2 Corinthians. And that seems to be one of the major parts that he's mentioned. Turn to chapter 7, where there's just a really good understanding that helps us. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6. But God who comforts... So in the history, it seems that Paul had written another letter to Corinth that was rather a harsh letter that we don't have a copy of. And he sent that with Titus to deliver it to the church in Corinth and to talk to them about some issues that need to be dealt with. Corinth was a problem church all the way along. And so Titus seemed to be, as I said, he was Paul's troubleshooter. He seemed to be the person that Paul would put in a difficult situation. So he sends him with this difficult letter. And then verse 6 of chapter 7, but God who comforts the depressed comforted us by the coming of Titus. So Paul is not in Corinth, and I'm not sure where he is right now, but Paul's writing this Corinth. Titus comes to him, and he says, but God who comforts the depressed comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort which he has comforted in you, as he reported to us your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. For though I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, that means I sent the letter. It was a harsh letter I sent. I had 7 second thoughts about it. But I'm glad Titus comes back and says, you know, that you have a zeal for me and that the letter did some good in your life. For I see that the letter caused you sorrow, though only for a while. I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. So he sent Titus with this letter, and the end result of it was a positive thing in the life of the Corinthian believers. And he comes back, Titus comes back with a report of how effective this letter was. Then if you turn over to chapter 8, and we'll see another reflection. Verse 16, but thanks be to God who puts the same earnestness on your behalf in the heart of Titus. So Titus has this earnestness for the people in Corinth. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he has gone to you of his own accord. So we see some of the character of Titus in here. He's been given the opportunity to minister to the people in Corinth, and he does it to the best of his ability, and he goes on his own accord. We have sent along with him the brother who's famous in things of the gospel that are spread to all the churches. Not only this, but he also pointed by the churches to travel with us, gracious, and that's about somebody else. But taking precaution that no one should discredit us in our ministry with a generous gift, for we have regard for what was honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. For we have sent with them our brother, whom we have often tested and found diligent in many things. As for, verse 23, as for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you, as for our brethren, they are messengers of the churches, a glory to Christ. Therefore, openly before the churches, show them the proof of your love, and for our reason for boasting about you. So he sees Titus, who's emissary to Corinth, to be a very positive person, and one of his own people that he valued in his own circle of friends and co-workers. So Paul has nothing but good to say about Titus. Then Paul is in prison a second time, and then he writes from the... So turn to Titus chapter 1. We'll see briefly. So he's writing to Titus, and he makes this reference to him. Paul, a bondservant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God, knowledge of the truth, which is according to godliness, and hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago, but at the proper time manifested even his word for the proclamation to which I am trusted according to the commandment of our Savior. To Titus, as he's writing to Titus, my true child in the common faith, so he seems to be indicate that he's the one who led him to Christ. Grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. Verse 5, for this reason I left you, this is Titus, I left you in Crete, that you would be set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. He has two responsibilities in Crete. Now, Crete was a large island. They had people from that island were at Pentecost and probably came to know Christ at Pentecost and then probably went back to the island. And so there's this work there of Christ, of Christians who are working, but they needed direction. He sends Paul or Titus over years later to help in that situation. If you want to know what Crete is like, go down to verse 12. One of themselves, this is their own prophet, this is not somebody saying this, but their own prophet, says Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. And Paul says, this testimony is true. Now they got it right, he said. So he's going into the situation in Crete where there seems to be a disorganization of these different churches and kind of needing to work together in this culture there that was very hostile to things of Christ. So he sends them there for the main purpose of setting in order what remains. That is, you need to put in line what is going on here and then to appoint elders. And then he gives one of the two major passages on the qualifications for elders. And so that's so when things are difficult, he puts Titus in charge of that. Then Paul sent Artemis and Tychicus to Crete. Later on, when he's in prison or before prison, he asked Titus to join him in the Nicopolis for the winter. That's in chapter 3 and verse 12. When I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me at Nicopolis, for I've decided to spend the winter there. So he's continuing to ask him to come and join him there. This final reference to Titus is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're actually right there. So chapter 4, verse 9, but make every effort to come to me. This is to Timothy. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Dalmatia is up where Croatia and Montenegro are now, and probably went up there, I would, from the context, seem to be for church planting and working up in that area. So he's making more of a headway into Europe at that point, into what used to be Yugoslavian up there. Timothy is the better known of the pair. You read about him in Acts, you know his travels. There's two books to him. We know a lot more about him. And if you talk to somebody about discipleship, you'll say, you know, do you have a Timothy in your life? My question is, do you have a Titus in your life? Timothy was timid. He had to be encouraged. He needed help. Titus seemed to be the kind of guy that was strong and stable and is able to handle these challenging situations, specifically in Corinth and in Crete. Again, Paul refers to him as my partner and fellow worker, and maybe we be that steady in our life. So when he writes to Titus, he's writing things that he would need in the context of Crete, in terms of putting a church in order. He talks about the qualifications for elders, the importance of preaching the truth, to be ready for every good work, to keep the church pure, to live as a faithful example, to refute false teachers. And he gives them all this instruction to help him in the context there in Crete. But I fall in love with Titus. He's a great guy, even though his book is real short. There's some really positive things in that. I want to leave us just with one thought that comes out of what Paul wrote to Titus. Chapter 3, verse 4 says, but the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So here he's been with Titus for years, and he's been preaching the gospel for years, and Titus has listened to it for years, but as he writes, he comes back to remember the gospel. Remember the gospel. Remember it was Jesus Christ who saves us. It's not our works, it's not our importance, it's not who we are. And it's not because we're some great people. It says, when the kindness of God and his love for mankind appeared, It comes back to his salvation was based on the kindness of God. The kindness of God and his love for mankind. He saved us not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. May we come back in our lives every day to the gospel. We're here not because we're a part of God's family, not because of who we are or our greatness or how special we are, but because he loved us, he sent his son to die on the cross for us, and he saved us. Father, we thank you for Titus's life, for just understanding that you work in people and all kinds of people. Somebody as timid as Timothy, and somebody is just as strong and steady as Titus. And help us to come back to the gospel and know that we're here because of you and your grace, the kindness and the love for mankind that caused you to send your son to die for us. May we never forget that. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.